Steph Thompson, founder of the London Voice Boutique. Welcome to LVB Presents. We're a voiceover agency based in Soho, London, and in this second series, we're going to take you on a little journey behind the scenes with some of our actors. But also, I'm going to take you on a detour and talk to people on the production side of the industry to give you some of the fun stories and advice from the other side. Today I welcome Sean Carnegie from Radioville and Joe Atwell, global podcast producer and one of my own voiceover artists. But today, Joe, we're going to be talking to you more about the production side of your work. Hi, chaps. How are you?
Hello.
Very well.
Oh, that was very quiet and meek.
That was very polite. Hello. I'm very well.
Good. Right. Thank you for coming on the podcast. So, Sean, can you start us with telling us a little bit about what your job entails at Radioville? I know you do a bit of voiceover work as well, but tell us about what you do from a radio point of view.
Yeah, so Radioville are an audio creative agency. So we make audio ads, radio commercials and digital audio commercials for brands. So my main role outside of running the business is directing the talent, casting the talent, directing the talent, and then getting into the studio, helping the engineer with the sound design and directing them so that we come out with something that radio listeners enjoy as much as the brand wants to sell.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. And Joe, can you just tell us a little bit about what your job entails?
I make podcasts, so that means, I think some people have the idea that production means that there's lots of people working on a thing, but I produce podcasts, which means I record them, then I edit them, and then I make them be in the world. So
yes.
Largely it's a one-person show sort of thing. So from in the studio all the way to popping
the other side.
Out.
Yeah. And also you were saying to me before that you do a bit of writing for the show as well, is that right? Or is it just the...
Wherever that's needed, if there's sort of, you know, intros and outros and all those bits that need, the housekeeping bits, and then adverts, host-read adverts in the middle where a brand will have paid for the hosts to talk about a product specifically, then that all gets... I write that as well.
Okay, and so that is like a commercial, but not in the traditional sense of a radio commercial.
No, so it'll be a longer form thing where we'll get a brief where the brand, very similar to a radio commercial, have said we want to get these bits across. We want to say it's half price now, and it's great, and also it's great.
And that is half price.
Yeah.
Did we
say it's half price?
And that is great.
So I'll write that. And then basically what they want to do is they want it to be in the mouths of the podcast hosts as though...
part of their conversation.
Exactly.
As
the top note is always, we just want it to sound like it's part of the podcast.
Right.
But we also really want them to mention that it's half price.
Yes.
So it's sort of striking that balance between getting it to sound like a natural conversation, but also appreciating the fact that you're in there, you're recording podcasts, you don't have time to brief the talent in completely on a product and say, could you speak naturally for roughly 60 to 90 seconds on this new product that is half price?
Right.
You don't do that. You write them a script and get them to do it as natural as possible, and then it all comes out in the edit.
Okay, and then it doesn't take away from what Sean does as a producer and director of radio, traditional radio ads. They would be on top of your host-led
Those still appear in podcasts. We still have those, just like you would hear on a commercial radio station.
Yeah,
they will still appear in podcasts as well.
So
don't worry, it's not taken away from anyone's work.
We can all be friends. And we can all coexist in the same ecosystem.
Thank God for that. That could have been awkward. So Sean, tell us a bit about how you got into the job that you do. And because I think it's a real... I love radio ads. I used to produce them and I loved it. I loved the fast turnaround. I loved that you're telling a little story in 30 seconds or 60 seconds or whatever it is. Because some of them can be really creative. And, you know, how did you get into that side of the business?
Well, I got into it by chance, really. So it was the founder of one of the studios actually that we're currently sat in.
Yeah.
And I knew him outside of work, and I was at university, and he said, do you want a bit of spare money? Do you want some pocket change? Come and be a runner at the studios and fetch people their teas and coffees before the days of skinny oat whites and all that stuff. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Flat whites, skinny oat milk flat whites.
Yeah.
Anyway, before the days of fancy coffees. So I did that for some. Yeah, that's when you and I first.
You were the smiliest runner I've ever met, honestly. You were so lovely.
We're talking 20 odd years ago now.
Yeah.
So I did that for a summer in between 2 years at university, because I was doing economics with the law. So
wow.
It's something totally unrelated to what I'm, well, I say totally unrelated, you know, the ability to negotiate, that now comes into my work when it comes to talk about usages with various agents or whatever. But aside from that, it was totally unrelated to what I'm doing now. In between 2 years at university, I ran at the studio for a summer. Absolutely loved the creativity and the cool people, and how that you could go into a studio at the start of the day and then come out with something that was ready to share with the world. I thought was quite cool. Went back to university and didn't think anything of it. Graduated, I thought I was going to go into the boring world of corporate law and what have you. And then the founder came, he got back in touch and said, well, Sean, while you're looking for these law firms you want to work at, earn a bit more money and just come and become a runner while you're researching these firms. And that's why I did that, and I never started looking for a law firm to join. So I was here for a year. I was at the studio for a year running, and then I was approached by Radioville to become a producer, junior producer and account person, like account handler. And that was back in 2001, and
you
just kind of loved
up.
Loved it, stayed in it.
If you were here 20 years ago, is it true? And you're talking about this building specifically, or this company specifically. I've heard people say back in the day, and I don't know how long ago it means that was, there used to be something called Champagne Fridays.
Champagne Fridays.
I don't think it's
Champagne
true.
Fridays.
Apparently, everyone used to get champagne on a Friday.
But that was just the whole ad land.
Whereas
champagne every day. I kind of missed
budget cuts.
That. Exactly.
I'm always absolutely thrilled to get booked on a Friday. Oh, fantastic. I might get me for a Champagne Friday.
Never seen it.
People still, they trot it out every now and again. But I joined the world of advertising just after that stopped. So when I got there, when I started at Radioville, so this is 22 years ago, you know, the long lunches that would start on a Thursday afternoon and continue until Monday morning, they kind of stopped.
Oh.
So there would be the odd Friday lunch where some of the senior team wouldn't come back.
Yep.
You know, they'd go out for lunch.
Yep.
And it would start with the client, you know, entertaining the client, and then the client would have a meeting to go back to, and then
just carried
the
on.
Agency would stay out.
We should look at Champagne Fridays. I feel like they could possibly come back at some point.
Yeah, of course, we could bring them back. Why not Champagne Mondays? Why keep it to a Friday?
No, I'm not boxing us in. If you're willing to bring it back, let's do it.
I'm all up for it. Yeah, so that's how I did it. I fell into it, really, and I'm glad I did. I love it. Yeah.
And Joe, how did you... Okay, so you trained as an actor.
I did, yeah.
And then you became a producer on a radio show. How did that all... How did you get into that?
Yeah, it was by accident as well.
A lot of these opportunities are by accident, and I love that about this industry, so talk me through it.
So when I was trying to pay my rent in between auditions and the odd job, I'd be working at schools, or I'd be working in bars... And I'd always loved radio, and I thought, well, I may as well have a look and see if there's anything that might be going. So I just sent a really cheeky letter to, it would have been the managing editor of Radio X, which had just not long changed from XFM, and said, look, I want an internship and I'd like to come in on these days, and I currently work in a school, so could it be in school holidays? If you don't get back to me, that's quite rude.
Did you?
He got back to me and gave me an internship, and that was in 2016, and I haven't left.
Wow, are you still on an internship?
At some point we worked something out with HR.
Oh, brilliant.
And I'm still there,
And you're working with Danny Wallace.
I'm working with Danny Wallace on Radio X on Sundays still,
yeah.
He's a good man, Danny Wallace.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy.
Brilliant. And then, so how did the podcast side of things start up?
So this podcast is a really weird thing because they existed right back from like the mid-2000s when like Ricky Gervais was doing podcasts with Stephen Merchant way back in the day. Then it feels like for a little while they sort of went away and nobody talked about them for a while and then they were being made. But no one was really thinking about podcasts. Then 2020 happened, COVID happened, and people sort of rediscovered podcasts in a massive way. They were sort of already on the up a bit, but 2020 absolutely changed everything. Everyone made a podcast because
I don't know what you're talking about. It's only taken me 3 years to figure it out.
But everyone who was at home and couldn't make anything anymore, presenters, actors, musicians, everyone who like their jobs just stopped. Started making a podcast.
But people also had the time to listen to them.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, it took me a while to figure out that actually podcasts, I used to sort of sit in there and think, I need to sit down and listen to a podcast. But actually, you can do it while you're walking or running. I'll tell you when I started in 2020, when I started to do the bloody couch to 5K, and so I started listening to podcasts then more regularly. And I started listening to funny ones, and then I was like, no, I can't do that because I'd have to stop and laugh while I was trying to do my 1 minute running. And then I had to stop that and then listen to murder podcasts. That became my thing.
Well, that was it, because that's how I really got into them, was True that crime. American one.
Yes.
Serial.
Loved Serial. That was the one that got me into it. Really, and then the Dateline, NBC Dateline. That's a classic. Give me a good murderer. Has to be a murder in America. I can't have them being too close.
Too close.
It's not scary.
Exactly. And now I've gone back to comedy ones. Okay, so that's brilliant. So you sort of both discussed a bit of how you got into it. Sean, I'm going to take you to a conversation that I've had with a few people to do with producers and the sound engineers. It's about studio etiquette. I think it's something that I'm trying to understand. Voiceovers often come out of sessions, and both of you having done voiceover works, you've both been on the other side. You may be a little bit more aware.
I feel like I'm about to learn something. I feel like I'm about to hear the thing I've been doing for years.
A voiceover artist.
No, I think
what's the etiquette? You mustn't do this. Christ, I do that.
Just do what you're told, man. Better. Do better again.
Do it faster. Louder.
That's how I direct my sessions. Yeah. Again. Again! Better! What do you mean notes? Better! That's my note.
Okay, so this is going to be a really conversation.
I don't know what came over me.
Dramatic. So my point was, I think since 2020, things have changed massively and a lot of junior assistants have gone in and not necessarily learnt from other producers, or there's a lot of Zooming going on and clients are kind of Zooming in. My question with this sound engineers that I've recorded with was, you know, a lot of voice artists have said they like to make friends with the sound engineer because they sometimes feel intimidated by the amount of people in a room or zooming in, and therefore the buffer is the sound engineer, which is fair enough. And I've had that conversation. I think with you as a voice director going in, how do you think a room should be run? And, you know, do you believe in, you know, is the talk back on when you're giving back the feedback or slagging off the artist or whatever? Because I've had artists really upset coming out of sessions going, oh my god, I wish they'd turned off the talk back.
But
didn't
that's quite stressful
that.
As well
when it's quiet,
when there's five people in a room and they've turned it off and they're all having a massive conversation for ages,
and you're looking through the glass, and all you can see is just people's mouths going, what are they saying? Are they saying I'm doing a good job? Okay, are they saying they didn't want to get someone else in?
So what is the best thing? That's what I don't know.
It depends. Normally, it depends on who's in the room. So we always like to have the client there. We always like to have the brand in the room, part of the process.
Great.
Because it saves... Hopefully, it saves us unnecessarily having to go back in.
Agreed.
Which spends more money and takes up more time or what have you. But also, it makes the brand, the marketing people, feel part of what's being created rather than this kind of, right, the agency's doing it and we'll wait for
a
them to send
sneaky,
it to us.
Sneaky.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah. Anyway, it's just more of a collaborative way of working. So depending on, and because we know our clients and
Yeah.
Each person and each brand is different. Because we know the nature of the people coming into the room, that will dictate whether or not we have an open session where we leave the talk back on, because right. we know that the client's unlikely to say anything hurtful okay. or inappropriate or unhelpful. Whereas if we know that we've got a tricky person in the room, and sometimes that could be an agency.
Sure.
A member of staff
yep.
who for whatever reason,
could be an account. Yeah, exactly. You know, could be anybody.
So if that's the case, and we think there's the potential that someone might say something that's unhelpful, I will say to the engineer, let's keep the talk back off unless I say. And also, in most studios now, there's a button on the desk. So you, as the director, can control the talk back.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because that didn't used to be when I was producing.
So you can say to the engineer, can I have control of the talk back? But as a rough rule of thumb, I always like to have the talk back open.
Okay.
I really do, because I think it's helpful sometimes for the voiceover artist to hear the conversation, because they might infer from something that's said that no one's able to articulate clearly.
Yeah.
And then, but once all of this conversation's gone on, to your point, one person or something we've spoken about before, yeah. which is there should only be normally one person who's communicating to the talent rather than five or six people all saying different things to the talent at the same time, which is confusing.
Yeah.
But I think bringing the voiceover into the conversation, I think, is preferable than having a conversation over here and then saying it to the voiceover artist. Because I think they can hear, as like I said, if some of the comments being said are unhelpful, after the first dialogue with everyone in the room, I will take a temperature check of the room and say, okay, right, moving forward, I'm going to take control of the talk back, and no one's going to, and I'll close it off. But also, when you're playing back, so you've done a take and you're playing it back, that's an opportunity for the director to say to the engineer, the voiceover can't hear me, can they now? And they go, no, when you're playing back, they can't hear you. And then when it's being played back, the people in the room can have a conversation.
Yeah.
That sometimes difficult decisions need to be made
Absolutely.
About a voiceover in the booth. So Agreed. That's how you do it. So it's just being, if you start from a position of, right, no one wants to be unpleasant or say anything hurtful, so let's just use that as our guidance. So however that needs to happen.
Yeah. I think it's just, what my point is to try and be aware of, as a producer or a director, to be aware of what is being said in the room, because it isn't going to get the best performance out of a voiceover if they're sitting there hearing negative comments and managing that. And I have had so many artists coming back going, wow, that was tough, because it can be as simple as an accent being wrong, but you know, the client coming in halfway through the recording going, what's this accent? This isn't what I was after. And then the artist is like, I don't know what to do now. Yeah, you know, this is my voice and you've chosen me off the back of something. And it's things like that where I just feel like, oh, that's not the best way to get out an artist's performance. But I hear what you're saying, because sometimes it being included in the conversation, as Joe's saying, it can be really sort of slightly off-putting when you're like,
it's lonely in the booth, you know.
Suddenly realise how quiet it is. Oh my God.
And you can hear your thoughts.
That's the time to take a selfie for social media.
that's the time.
But, you know, it can be as simple as they're discussing the script. Well, the script's not fitting. How can we re-edit it and da-da-da? And of course, that doesn't matter then if the artist hears it, but that... So artists know that they're not always slagging you off. They're actually sometimes just discussing how can we make the script.
And I think that's, as a director, you should always be trying to do, is keeping the voiceover updated as to what's going on, so that they're not sat in there wondering. So it could be, Joe, we're just going to talk through the last few takes. We'll be back with you. Or we've got an issue with the script. Give us 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so they know. And then you could give that as an excuse and then say, oh my God, that person is rubbish. How are we going to... Everything's fine. How are we going to get rid of this person? You know, so
Okay, great. I agree. I think what you said is really helpful. But it is about sort of looking at, I think people often forget what it feels like to be that voiceover in the booth. And I think if you've both been on the other side as a voiceover, and then you've also been the other side as a voice director, you have probably more awareness than maybe some people. Mm. And it's just something I wanted to discuss as to how to best manage it, to get the best out of a voiceover performance. Just in terms of radio, do you think that generally over the years that radio ads have changed from in any way, other than what we've discussed in terms of a podcast, but are you, Sean, seeing that it's very much more information-led rather than creative-led? What are you feeling at the moment?
I feel that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm looking at it from an overly critical point of view, because Radioville, where we add most value to our clients, is by coming up with creatively engaging audio commercials, not just doing your run-of-the-mill
buy this
it's great, it's half price stuff, which we can do, but we don't find that's the most engaging way to get listeners to, you know, like your brand and respond to your brand.
Huge way of marketing.
Yeah, because we were talking about podcasts, how they blew up in 2020. Radio advertising had one of its best, last year I think was its best year in terms of ad spend. But 20, when everyone thought, you know, radio's going to decline during lockdown because people aren't spending, no one's going out to buy anything, the reverse happened. Brands were spending more on radio advertising, audio advertising, music streaming advertising, podcast advertising, because everyone was at home,
listening
from home,
listening
to stuff while they were working.
Or doing the couch to 5K and needing something to listen to and motivate them. It's true. Yeah. No, it's absolutely true.
So to answer your question directly, I think, unfortunately, a majority of the brands that we work with at the moment aren't as brave as we would like them to be. So, it's just, I think, and I don't know, because I've never worked client side, I've never worked for a brand directly, but what I've seen is that there seems to be a stronger focus on performance, as in they want to see a direct return on the bottom line for every campaign that's produced. Not all of them, and this is for the ones that aren't doing it in a way that we might want them to do. So there's less creativity, there's less brand building work, because you can't build a brand by just flogging price points, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's been less, and also specifically, I think there's, years ago, there used to be quite a few 40-second briefs coming in, 50-second briefs, where you've got time to engage the listener, you know, entertain, and then do the reveal, and then do the sell. Whereas now, most of the briefs that we get are 30 seconds, because it's more cost effective from a media buying point of view than a 40-second. And there's, you can't really do anything that's really creatively, well, of course you can, but it's, you can do more with 40 seconds than you can with 30 seconds. You know, you can build more of a story, lead someone in a bit more.
Yeah.
So I keep hearing the same ad concept for 30-second spots, where the voiceover gets it done in a really comedically fast 15 seconds, and then they do the joke about, oh, I've got 10 seconds left. Oh, I guess I can just chill, and then they play a sound effect, and then we go, oh, that was really clever. We know you've got 30 seconds left. Clever.
That's my ad. What else do you expect us to do? We've only got 30 seconds.
That's not
your
ad.
No.
Wow, Joe, that was dangerous.
I'm not saying I hate it. I'm just saying
No, we would never do anything
imagine
that corny.
If you did it, we were probably the first ones that did it.
Yes, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. I think so, yeah. So less creativity, I think, generally speaking. But that said, the good ones are still good, you know?
Yeah. Okay, right. On to more generic questions. Who would you most like to direct in a voice booth? Sean.
Joe, I think. I would love to direct you.
Well, he's available.
No, I can't say that
because when we walked into this room, I recognised your voice from having worked with you on a cartoon once. and you didn't know.
But
who
no,
I was.
wait. Now that's gonna come across like I've got the worst memory, as if we were in a session together. No, we recorded our bits separately.
Yeah,
we were
totally individual, and it was a little. It was a little couple of years ago now, but
yeah,
you were the king, weren't you?
Well, so to speak, the character I played was the king. Yeah.
I'm not
suggesting I'm the king, but you were a funky horse.
Yeah, he was a horse cool. with blue hair.
Yeah.
What was the animation?
Nella the Knight.
Oh, yes.
Nella the Princess Knight.
Yes.
Sorry, you're right.
Yeah,
you remember. Yeah. Did you just do Claude or did you do other...
Claude,
sorry.
Come on, mate. I'd most like to direct
I'm so sorry.
We sang together, never mind.
Oh, really?
We never sang together.
No, we did.
And
we
I can't, do you know, they had to auto-tune me to within an inch of the sound file. It was awful. I can't sing.
We did, no, I don't mean we sang together in a booth, but we have performed songs together. There was a very engaging song about Christmas that I recall.
Well, maybe they recorded Sean first and then you had to record
with
him.
Yeah, they did. I heard his voice.
Because Sean's like, I literally don't know who you are.
Yeah. Who would I like to? Olivia Colman.
Fair. Yeah.
I'd like to, you know, she's... I loved her in W1A, you know.
Yeah.
that spoof on the Olympics committee. No, that was... No, 2012. And then they did the spin-off of W1A. That was good. You know, Key and Peele? Have you heard of Key and Peele? The comedy double act, the Americans.
Oh, okay.
One of them, the bald guy, what's his name? Michael Keegan, no. Yeah, Michael Keegan Keel, I think his name is. He just cracks me
up. He's the one, if you don't know who he is, he's the one that you will have seen in GIFs all the time with the GIF with the sweat running down his face.
Is that him? Is that him?
I've
not seen that.
You know that one that people send with the sweat?
Yeah.
You sure that's him?
I think so, yeah. I think it is. Because it's in a sketch.
He's in a sketch
show. It's in a sketch from Key and Peele.
Yeah.
Where it's something about like his girlfriend's going to find something out and it keeps cutting over to
him. Right, I see.
And starts just sweating normally and then it keeps getting like the sweat just gets more and more.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. Yeah. He's been in loads of good stuff. Playing House and Friends from College, like sitcoms.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah.
And what about you, Joe?
I'm listening at the moment to Miriam Margolyes' audiobook. And I imagine people have probably given this answer before.
One person has mentioned her. I think.
Literally, the chapter I was listening to on the way here was her talking about working in animation. And she did, was she Mulan? Was she the matchmaker or something? This is a chapter I'm paused in the middle of.
Oh, right.
So I think she's in the middle of a chapter saying when she was working with Disney, I think it was Mulan. I've never watched it. But apparently she was the matchmaker in that. She's talking about that.
Brilliant.
But the way that she talks about the going in to the audition and they show her a few sketches of the character before anything's been done. And they like give her a few hours then to just play and work out the voice. And she's like, sometimes it comes immediately and you've just got the character straight away and that's the way their voice will be. But other times it's a few hours. God, imagine being given hours in a voice.
The luxury of that time. Yes.
No, I'm still not getting it. I'm just going to go. You can all go for lunch if you like. I'm just going to carry on.
Is the clock ticking? Nice. Okay, what is the most unusual or fun direction that you've ever given to a voiceover, Sean?
We did a commercial for a clothing retail brand.
Right.
And the whole creative idea was you're at a dinner party. They're at a dinner party and everyone's having a good time and laughing. There's merriment and what have you. And then someone walks in this horrendous outfit. And you know, like that saloon door moment where and everyone stops to turn. So it was an audio equivalent of that. And so they were meant to be in this horrendous outfit. And then so people turn and look and then comment on the outfit. To help engender different responses from the actors. So we had, it was so good. We had like 5 or 6 quality actors in there, even though it was like a 40-second commercial. And so this guy walks in, this person walks in a horrible outfit. And the brief to the various talent for each take was to visualize this person coming in a different outfit. So one, we said, okay, imagine them coming in like chaps and Hotspurs and Speedos and a cat at a jaunty angle with a feather sticking out. And then we just let the actor just you know, oh, just spitball, fun. You know, and that was fun.
Yeah. So,
and we just kept it going. We got what we wanted.
But you just
we just kept going, and we changed the characters, we changed the actors to see if it led to something different. So that was a lot of fun. We got what we wanted after 20 minutes, but we were still in there for the whole hour,
just love it.
Trying different things. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Brilliant. Yeah. And you, Joe, I'm going to ask you actually, as an actor, what has been your most fun or unusual, most unusual voiceover direction?
I did something with Alan, who you've had on the podcast.
Yes.
And who sorted us out with that Nella the Princess Knight. That was his project. And I did a project with him after, and I cannot remember what it was called. But I had to, my main job in that, I did some other voices in it, but the main thing I was there to do was a seal, as you know very well, because you would have heard it, I'm sure. And my understanding at the beginning was it's like a seal. And, you know, there'd be a couple of seal noises, obviously, but, you know, there'll be lines, and then we'll sort of work out how the seal sort of sounds when he speaks. The seal doesn't speak. The seal is completely non-verbal in the sense of speaking English. All it was, all through the scripts, was seal noises. Everyone else has lines, and there's lots of different things happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, now, so, like, do a noise now to, like, how you think a seal would react to the fact that, you know, everyone's just fallen down the hill or whatever. It's like, do you know what? It's quite limiting, actually. There's only so much you can do as a seal. Well, there's only so much I can do as a seal. Probably
don't worry. Anyone else.
Oh,
I'm sure you were
that.
Great, Joe. I'm sure you were great.
Oh, yeah, I did some of my best work.
As a seal. Well, you're rather trained, aren't you?
Not quite.
Oh, fun. Okay, what advice would you give to a voiceover going into the booth for the first time? Go on, either one. Whoever feels like
definitely make friends. You said it earlier, make friends with the engineer, definitely.
Yeah.
Because they're the best chance you have at having a
Getting
friend.
Through it. Fair play. Sure.
Get there early, I think. Get there early.
Takes away some of the stress.
Yeah, you know, getting into the booth and all flustered.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think so. And if you can, get the script. See if your agent can get you the script the night before, so you're not, you know, throwing the script. Because there might be a couple of, we all have words that, you know, we might struggle with.
Yeah.
Or when there's two words that are close together for whatever reason. Mine are under the.
Really?
Yeah. Whenever I need to say under the something at quite quick pace, just trip over my tongue. So, but with some, you know, practice and figuring out where your tongue needs to be in your mouth is fine, but just a bit of...
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe get the scripts ahead of time and get to the session early.
Yeah.
And, because there's always pencils and pens, even if you don't feel like you need to, write the note down, because it will always please the person directing you. I learned this working with a director who was... there were several notes. It was fine. Mm. It was all going fine. Everyone seemed happy. The brand were there. They were happy. But they sort of would go, oh, can you just tighten up just that last bit, or can we run through that, but a little bit slower, whatever. Just a small note like that, and then you'd go, do you want to write that down?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, can do. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. So now, since then, always, if there's the tiniest note, I'll always go full stop. There. Just,
that's really,
I wrote it down, don't worry, it's all there. It's all there.
I love that. That's hilarious. All right, chaps, it's 5 o'clock on a Friday night, and it's not Champagne Friday, sadly.
Really?
It's 5 o'clock on a Friday night. Well, you've just finished a recording session. What are you going to do in Soho? Are there any places? Don't say you're going home. Are there any places that you used to go and socialise in?
Truth is, I got a 1-year-old. If I'm going out,
well, this is about
to get a card from my wife to say, yeah, no, you're all right to do that. Otherwise, I'm probably heading straight home to get there.
Well, let's wind it back.
Yeah,
let's wind it back 5 years. Yeah. Or
5 years ago.
Where would you have gone?
No, I don't know. I think if I'm given a pass, I think a pizza. I'll go to Pizza Pilgrims.
Nice.
Have a pizza and then go to the Sun and 13 Cantons, have a couple of pints.
Nice.
Yeah.
Keep it local.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
But not
yeah.
fancy. You're going for a pub.
I'll go for a pub. But nice. There's this nice place around the corner that's open. Dear Jackie, have you seen that?
No.
That looks pretty fancy. Oh. It's got a big elephant outside.
Oh, Street. Yes, I've seen that. It looks great.
It looks really fancy.
Oh, you can take me there, sure.
There we go. On a Friday, no champagne, but bougie. Yeah. We have a bougie Friday.
Let's
anyway,
do Friday
that's
there,
what I would
then.
Do. Yeah.
What about pizza you, Joe? Where do you used to go?
There's Wingman's would be an absolute must.
It would What's have to, Wingman?
Chicken wings, right?
Oh.
Wingman's is yeah. good. Yeah. So start Wingman's and Sun and 13 Cantons would have been the pub I'd have said as well. But if it wasn't the 13 Cantons, it would be the Nelly Dean.
Cause yes, where I've had my Christmas parties a few times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Because of that.
Yeah.
It's such a good pub.
It's a lovely pub. They do a nice pie in there.
I know.
Pie?
A nice pie.
Yeah, it's a pie shop at the top.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah. Had some good parties up there.
Sack Wingman's off then. I'll go in there and get a pie.
Never sack off wings. Never.
Wings and a pie.
Wings and a pie. Chicken shop up the road, Water Street. Yes. That's a nice chicken place.
Class.
I do like chicken wings. Brew Dog.
Chicken wings.
Why don't we start a podcast about chicken wings? I think we could do that. Chicken wings.
Okay. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for coming to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Go and enjoy your champagne afternoon.
Champagne. Yes. What champagne Monday.
Monday.
And that's it for the show and for this series. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a lot about this industry. If you did, please rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you missed any shows from series 1 or 2, why not go back and have a listen now? We had a lot of great guests. LVB Presents was presented by me, Steph Thompson. Follow us at London Voice Boutique. It was produced by Mike Hanson for Pod People Productions and recorded by Sean Dios at Jungle Studios. Theme music by Deli Music. Thanks for listening.